U.S. State Department, which is a part of the CIA. Yes, I understand that they're not linked constitutionally, that they're not linked in terms of they're not supposed to both be part of the Department of Homeland Security, but they operate as one, particularly internationally. And it's amazing how the U.S. State Department is also engaged in speaking on behalf of the United States military, a spokes team for the U.S. military. The Obaminator has really joined the NSA, CIA, U.S. State Department, Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. military, all in part of his administration, all speaking with the same convoluted voice. But the U.S. State Department made it clear, which means that they lied, that as far as the Obama administration is concerned, at least, a strike on Khorasan is not the same as a strike on al-Nusra. So the Obama administration, with their State Department saying, listen, we understand that no one ever heard of the Khorasan group. We understand that. We understand that the Khorasan group is one of a bunch of jihadist groups that are part of al-Nusra. We understand that, too. But we also understand that the Obama administration has said that the Islamic State is not Islamic and lives in a world of make-believe. And in their world of make-believe, the Khorasan group is not the same as al-Nusra. So just take it for that, that from their perspective, it's not the same. And don't question the fact whether or not their perspective is sane or not, because that would cost us our job. CBS News correspondent Margaret Brennan. Boy, I tell you what, isn't it just amazing now that our experts are talking heads. Someone who was pretty enough to get a job talking by reading a teleprompter. Those are our new experts. Well, CBS News correspondent, talking head, news prompter reader, Margaret Brennan read, according to State Department officials, there is some overlap between al-Nusra and Khorasan, but they're not one and the same. Okay, boy, we are really splitting hairs here. A department official told Brennan that Khorasan refers to a network of al-Nusra front, that Khorasan refers to a network of al-Nusra front, and al-Qaeda extremists and their associates who share a history of training operatives fighting, facilitating fighters and money, and planning attacks against the U.S. and Western targets. Bull fucky. That was with a P. Bull. Al-Nusra is the one Islamic terrorist organization, and there's more than this one alone, like Boko Haram, for example. Most Islamic terrorist organizations are territorial. They say, you know, our business is, in the case of Boko Haram, is Nigeria. In the case of the Taliban, it's Pakistan and Afghanistan. They really don't have vision of grandeur beyond their territory. Al-Nusra was always very limited and very focused. It is an assemblage of Islamic terrorist organizations that are all committed to the same thing, to the overthrow of the Shiite regime of in Syria and of establishing in its place a Sharia-compliant caliphate, a theocracy in Syria, based on Sunni Islam. They go no further in their ambitions than that. And they have been complimented. They have been spoken of highly by Ayman al-Zawahiri. But there is absolutely no indication that al-Zawahiri or al-Qaeda established them. It's just that they are on friendly terms. So the State Department official who refers to a network of al-Nusra and al-Qaeda extremists. No. that Khorasan refers to a network of al-Nusra and al-Qaeda extremists. That would put Khorasan as bigger than al-Qaeda or al-Nusra. If they are, if Khorasan refers to a network of al-Nusra Front and al-Qaeda extremists, then they are the unifier of the unifiers. And that's not even remotely accurate. The best that can be said about the Khorasan group is that they're a tiny affiliate of al-Nusra. The opposite of what the State Department told Margaret Brennan, who as a newsreader wasn't smart enough to say, then what you're saying here is the opposite of the evidence. And their associates who share a history of training operatives, facilitating fighters and money and planning attacks against the United States and Western targets, al-Nusra has never done that. Never. It's the opposite of what al-Nusra has done and what they have said. The State Department of the United States is again lying. They're either completely lost and are completely clueless as to who the military is attacking and should just keep their yap shut, or they know and they're deliberately deceiving. And the newsreader, Margaret Brennan, wasn't smart enough to challenge any of those statements, all of which are the antithesis of what's true. Early Tuesday, Syrian activists said airstrikes overnight had killed as many as 50 al-Nusra fighters in rural Idlib province, which lies to the west of Aleppo. Man, to the west of Aleppo? Open your map of Syria and look where we struck. It's as if we think the entire country now belongs to us to do with as we see fit. Aleppo and Homs are the two towns in Syria that have just been ransacked, totally devastated, nothing left but twisted heaps of rubble. And the fighting between the al-Nusra Front and the Assad regime, it is the home of the al-Nusra Front's resistance against al-Assad. And for us to go kill 50 of them, while at the same time saying that we're going to arm Sunnis to thwart the Islamic State in Syria, is brain dead. Moreover, we've just turned every Sunni in Syria into an American enemy. Didn't take long. It remains unclear who carried out the strikes, with some witnesses saying that they were U.S. missiles and others saying that it was Syria's own military on the orders of President Bashar al-Assad. At least, well, since America took credit for it, why are you confused? At least one senior al-Nusra commander was reportedly among the dead. It was not, by the way, al-Nusra. Al-Nusra were killed. Al-Nusra commander dead, no Khorasan group. Those on the ground who know who belongs to al-Nusra, who is leading al-Nusra, affirm that it was al-Nusra that was attacked and killed, not the Khorasan group, which was a derivative, a part of al-Nusra. It was not immediately clear whether the U.S. government told its Arab allies in advance, some of whom participated directly in the airstrikes against the Islamic State, that American firepower was also going to be directed at members of the mythical group known as Khorasan. In addition to causing possible angst against the, this is always put in quotes because even the journalists realize that it's a fabrication, moderate rebels, who are being bolstered by a new infusion of U.S. cash and weaponry. The strikes against Khorasan, if perceived to be strikes against the wider al-Nusra group, could also raise eyebrows among key U.S. allies in the Gulf region. Yeah, we lied to them, too. We not only lie to ourselves, we not only lie to the media, our media not only lies to everyone else, we lie to those who pretend they're in league with us while wanting us dead. While all Arab states deny funding or supporting terrorist groups, there have been many reports suggesting that oil-rich Sunni Muslim governments, including Qatar's, have given their tacit approval for donations to groups, including al-Nusra, for years, eager to shore up the fighters on the ground deemed most capable against the Shiite Muslim Assad regime. It's truly astonishing. Every time I read such rubbish in a mainstream periodical, that journalists can be this out of touch with reality. Qatar has knowingly, deliberately, admittedly given billions of dollars of weapons, boldly, bluntly, and without any caution to al-Nusra for years. There's no suggestion here. There's no denying. There's no tacit approval. This is as blatant, as broad daylight a transaction as could possibly take place, that al-Nusra is armed and funded by the Qatar regime. Period. That's the bottom line here. It always has been. It always will be. They're their closest ally in this fight. Why would you pretend that al-Nusra is somehow only tacitly, clandestinely supplied by Qatar? You can't have Qatar saying, we're going to support the American attacks against the Islamic State and bomb al-Nusra when al-Nusra operates under Qatari arms and funding. Qatar is not alone. CBS's Wyatt Andrews, another correspondent, another newsreader who is now considered an expert, reported earlier this month that U.S. officials have focused on private donations as a revenue stream to jihadist groups in Syria, including the Islamic State. Gee, that's a surprise. Islamic charities donating monies to Islamic terrorist groups. Oh, that's only gone on, since the PLO, since Yasser Arafat's Fatah, since Hamas. And it goes on and on. We'll be back after the commercial break. Goodness gracious, the world is absolutely ablaze in stupidity. In Kuwait, some of the terrorist fundraisers are very popular and very powerful in Kuwait. And the government is concerned about not upsetting this domestic constituency. Former U.S. intelligence analyst Lori Potkin Bogart told CBS News, the irony is that some of America's closest allies in the Gulf allow their citizens to support terrorist groups, end quote. Ludicrous. Absurd. Moronic. You know, you go back now 15 years ago, and you had King George I sitting on the throne of America as potentate of the most powerful military presence on earth. And he decided that we would deploy the American military with shock and awe to save Kuwait from the secular Saddam Hussein. Now, the world would have been vastly better off if Saddam Hussein controlled little old tiny Kuwait. And the United States and the West would have been vastly better off if Saddam Hussein took over Saudi Arabia, because both Saudi Arabia and Kuwait are fundamentalist Islamic regimes that promote and fund terrorism worldwide. But no, King George I, he made his living by investing Saudi money in U.S. military firms, and so a war would make him and his Saudi investors and the Carlyle Group buckets full of money. And so he started a war on behalf of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia to push Saddam Hussein, a secularist, out. Stupid. Because at the time, the Kuwaitis were the largest financier, for example, of the PLO. Black September. of Fatah, of Hamas, of Islamic Jihad, of the Muslim Brotherhood, of Al-Qaeda. And so what we did is we removed from control a man who was hated by fundamentalist Islamics, militants worldwide, who was despised by Islamic terrorists because he would not give them an opportunity to operate within his country. He was ruthless on them. He was the most effective force in opposition to Islamic terrorism, perhaps in the world. And we drove him out of Kuwait and returned Kuwait to the emirs, the thugs. And what did they do to thank us? They fund Islamic terrorists. They arm them. They fund them. They motivate them. They indoctrinate them, just as do the Saudi Arabians. And now this former U.S. intelligence operative, who has turned television commentator, is saying, oh, can you imagine that? America's closest allies in the region are actually working against our interests and are funding and arming al-Nusra and other Islamic fundamentalist groups. Surprise, surprise, dunderhead. What did you think was happening? Why didn't you recognize that the deployment of the U.S. military in Gulf War I was a disaster? It was moronic. It was absolutely insane, counterproductive, suicidal, as was Gulf War II. Everything America does, based upon the inability to be moral, to be rational, to be thoughtful of its intelligence community and politicians and military and State Department, is not just wrong. It's not just destructive and deadly. It's not just expensive. Suicidal. We're killing ourselves. It should be no wonder that 80 U.S. veterans take their lives in suicide every day. And that the number since we began this stupidity of trying to control and manipulate the Islamic world in Iraq, in Kuwait, in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, in Egypt, in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan. Since we began all of this, that death toll is now 300,000 dead veterans who've taken their own lives because they've been on the front line of what is just pure insanity. Self-inflicting wounds perpetrated by America's politicians and military. A video released by the Islamic State shows British captive John Cantley speaking about Western governments moving toward all-out war with Iraq and Syria. It was posted Monday on the website of the Site Intelligence Group on YouTube. The video shows Cantley in an orange shirt seated at a small desk in front of a black background. He appears to be reading words not seen on camera and describes himself as abandoned by my government. Actually, you went over there on your own free will. He says that Western governments are moving toward war with Iraq and Syria without paying any heed to the lessons of the recent past. Now, if this was written for him, and it probably was, we are now getting much more accurate assessments of the situation from the Islamic terrorist group, the Islamic State, than we are from the State Department, the Obaminator, from Lurch as Secretary of State, certainly from Senator John McClown, from the U.S. military. America is engaged in a war without paying any heed to the lessons of the recent past. Yep. We created the Islamic State when we invaded Iraq, bombing it. We made it possible for them to control great swaths of land when we armed the Awakening Program. When we engaged by providing weapons and the Syrian war between Sunni and Shia Islam on the side of the Sunnis against the Shia, we empowered the Islamic State. And now that we're bombing the Islamic State and al-Nusra in Syria, we will elevate their prestige even further. We're not paying any attention as to how we created this mess or what exacerbates the problem. And we seem to be clueless as to who they are. So, who would have thought that the Islamic State would provide a more accurate assessment of what is going on than anybody in the United States? And as a matter of fact, their next line is very similar to my assessment of the news out of Washington today. It's all quite a circus. It is. By clowns in the U.S. military, by clowns in the U.S. State Department, by clowns in the U.S. Capitol. It's just a circus of clowns. He's right. Now, that doesn't mean the Islamic State is right, and they're not. That's a despicable Islamic organization. Just like Ebola, they ought to be quarantined. They ought to be allowed to kill one another, but with sticks and stones, without the world providing more advanced weapons. We ought not be funding them through OPEC. We ought not be allowing them to practice their deadly religion in our midst. It should be outlawed, and we ought to quarantine the religion and divest ourselves of it. It's all quite a circus, he says. He asserted that Western intelligence agencies estimate 15,000 troops are needed to fight the Islamic State and called that number laughably low. He said that the Islamic group has more fighters than that. We haven't a clue how many fighters they have. You know, 2 months ago it was 10,000 according to the CIA. Now they say, well, maybe it's twice that. Maybe it's three times that number. We really don't know. We don't know who they are. That's how do you bomb an enemy that you don't even know how many there are, who they are, where they are? This is not some undisciplined outfit, he says on the video. That's the difference between the Islamic State and any other Islamic terrorist organization previously. Fatah, the PLO, the Muslim Brotherhood, Boko Haram, Hamas, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Abu Simbel down in the Philippines. All of these organizations, including the lads in Somalia, all of them had something in common. They're undisciplined. They're arrogant. They're all over the place. They've never before been able to keep food in markets, to operate schools, to administer a source of income, to amass an actual army as opposed to groups of isolated jihadists, but an actual army. It's the first time they've ever held and operated powerful weaponry. It's the first time they've controlled large swaths of land. It's the first time they have successfully used social media to recruit jihadists by the thousands from around the world. This is a very different group than any Islamic terrorist group we have ever encountered. And even though that is the case with the Islamic State, we ought not bomb them. We ought let them fight and kill as many Shia Muslims as their hearts desire. Yes, it would have been nice to stop them from killing and annihilating the Christians in Iraq, but that ship has sailed. It's already done. So now, no matter what they do, so long as we're not providing the arms, it's no skin off our nose. The world's no worse off for it. Leave them alone. Earlier, the same group released a chilling message that threatened the United States and its allies and urged Muslims to take violent action against disbelievers. In that audio recording, a spokesman for the Islamic State, Abu Muhammad al-Annani, warned that the matter is more dangerous than you have imagined. If you can kill a disbelieving American or European, so if you can kill a non-Islamic, the Islamic State really is Islamic, American or European, especially the spiteful and filthy French, or an Australian or Canadian, or any other disbeliever from the disbelievers waging war, including the citizens of the countries that entered into a coalition against the Islamic State, kill them in any manner, way it may be, said al-Adnani. Yeah. Why would we be appalled by this? Why would we be surprised by this? America announced war on the Islamic State. America attacked first, killing members of the Islamic State. The Islamic State had not killed an American other than the pretend video of a non-beheading of a journalist. And so what if they did? I don't think they did, personally. The video is certainly not of a beheading, and the video has more flaws in it and more inconsistencies in it than it has things that are credible in it. But so if they had, how many fundamentalist Sunni Muslims has America killed in Iraq up to this point? Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? And then we declare war on them, we bomb them. And so they say, yeah, retaliate, kill them. That's what countries do when they're attacked. Not a surprise. The statement was released in Arabic late Sunday by the Islamic State media arm Al-Fuqan and appeared on militant sites used by the group. The speaker sounded like one of the previous recordings attributed to al-Annani. What does it matter? French Interior Minister said Monday that he is confident about his country's security. This threat to kill civilians, added to the execution of hostages and the massacres, is yet another demonstration of the barbarism of these terrorists justifying our fight without troops or pause, the French ministry said. France is not afraid because it is prepared to respond to the threats. You know, what we just don't get is that we get all up in arms when they kill, or even when they plot to kill, and yet we don't mind killing them. And we struck first. We bomb them. We threaten to bomb them, and then we bomb them. And so now they're threatening to retaliate. And you say, well, the distinction is we're bombing the militants and they're threatening civilians. What's the distinction? And really, what's the distinction? The militants are civilians. The jihadists are all civilians. Really, they're all civilians. When America invaded Iraq, we didn't fight an army. We fought civilians. When America invaded Afghanistan, we didn't fight an army. We engaged civilians. We killed civilians when we fly our drones over Pakistan and Yemen. We're killing civilians, and we have been killing them for a long time. And we've killed far more of them than they have killed of us. And then we get up in arms and all haughty-ta and say that, yes, they kill civilians. This demonstrates that their barbarism of these terrorists justifies our fight against them without truce or pause. You've got to be kidding. The French, the Americans, ever thought of looking in a mirror and seeing who's doing what to whom? We've lied so much about who these folks are and what they want and what our position is relative to them that we're living in a land of make-believe. I don't think you could see the truth from Washington or Paris if you put on the finest pair of glasses in broad daylight under any circumstances. We've just distorted the truth too long and too egregiously to know it if it bit us on the nose. the Islamic State a breakaway branch of Al-Qaeda. It's not true. It's just another lie. The Islamic State has never been associated with Al-Qaeda. It's not a breakaway branch. It's unassociated. Al-Qaeda is irrelevant, and there's no association between the two. The Islamic State is a fundamentalist Islamic organization, full stop. Has seized control of large parts of Syria and Iraq, prompting U.S. airstrikes against the militants. In Turkey, around 130,000 Kurdish refugees fleeing the Islamic State militants have crossed the border from Syria into Turkey over the past 4 days. Oh, Turkey's got to be thrilled with that. The Turks hate the Kurds. A refugee wave that can be expressed by hundreds of thousands is a possibility. This is not a natural disaster. What we are faced with is a man-made disaster. The surge of mostly women and children and elderly. That's because all the men are engaged in Embrace Death in their own terrorist organization. What a mess. And we created the mess, and we're making it worse. Secretary of State John Kerry said yesterday that the U.S. expects Turkey to step up the fight against the militants. Okay, John, you can continue to breathe that wonderful hallucinogenic atmosphere on your planet, wherever your planet might be. But Turkey is now a fundamentalist Sunni Islamic country. Erdogan has taken them back to the 7th century. They are not going to back off their support of the Mujahideen, fundamentalist Islamic fighters, jihadists, who are in opposition to the Iranian influence in Syria. They're not going to aid and abet Iran's influence there, as is the United States. And Turkey had thus far said, no, we're not playing. They are not going to capitulate to Iran. Turkey didn't join the coalition. Specifically said, even as a NATO member, we're not going to play. Being formed by the U.S. to fight the Islamic State, primarily because the militant group, that was the answer. See, the militant group had 49 Turkish hostages, so Turkey wouldn't play. Do you think Erdogan gives two hoots about the 49 hostages? Turkey decided not to support the United States' decision to bomb Syria for two reasons. One is it doesn't want America bombing its neighbor, because it doesn't like America. And number two, because those that it is America is attacking are supported by Turkey because they're in opposition to the growing Iranian Shiite influence in the region. The hostages, however, were released on Saturday, but Turkey has not said how that was negotiated. It's always through ransom. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has denied paying a ransom, but was vague on whether there was a prisoner swap. Now, the fact is that Erdogan lines his own pocket with the public money, as do his children. He is one of the least trustworthy men in public power. In a separate development, a wave of suicide bombings in western Iraq by Islamic State militants killed 40 soldiers. Another 68 Iraqi soldiers were apparently captured by the Islamic State in Sijir and were likely taken to the nearby city of Fallujah. And fair play. I'm going to tell you. The reason that the Awakening Program Sunnis that America had armed, joined with, leagued with the Islamic State in Iraq, creating the Islamic State, is because America's government in Iraq, the government of Iran and Shia Islam, used American artillery and American tanks and American attack helicopters to bombard Fallujah, killing hundreds, if not thousands, of Sunni Muslims. That was the catalyst. That was the act where the Sunnis finally said, the hell with you. The hell with all of this. We're going to take matters in our own hand. And so now for the Islamic State, which is a combination of the Awakening Program, Sunni leaders from the Saddam Hussein era, and zealous Iranian or Iraqi Sunni Muslims that fought against America, that when those two joined forces now and in opposition to the Shiite government and military that America established, capturing those who perpetrated hell on them, it is fair play. Fair play. There are only victimizers in this group. Now, this is a civil war, a religious civil war that is taking place in Iraq. There's no way to prevail. There is no good side. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, another nincompoop, said that the West needs to be ready to commit ground forces to deal with the Islamic State. He made the comments in an essay published on his website, Faith Foundation. So we're going to put American troops and British troops on the ground in the midst of a religious civil war between Sunni and Shiite Muslims. And somehow, he thinks that that's a good idea. No wonder it's the Faith Foundation.